Today's reading can be found on page 1078 of the Church Bibles. It's John chapter 8, verses 37 to 47. John chapter 8, verse 37. Jesus said, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God."
James, thank you very much indeed for reading for us. Perhaps if you'd keep that passage open, you might like to turn to the inside of your song sheet. You'll find on the left-hand side of the page an outline of the talk. On the right-hand side, an advertisement for Christianity Explored, which is still not too late to join. Somebody's just joined up for this coming Wednesday, tomorrow lunchtime, so do join if you would like to, or invite other colleagues. If you are a praying person and would be able to come and pray with us tomorrow morning for God's work here in the city, we'd love you to join us. We're very glad to see you here this lunchtime, especially. I can see several people who are back after a while away. It's great to have you back amongst us and in partnership with us in this work here in the city. Now we're going to be looking at the passage. Before we do that, let me pray and lead us in prayer. So let's pray together. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We praise you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful promise. And in the middle of this busy day, we pray that light would dawn, would be shed abroad in our lives, in our understanding. Please shine the light of your truth right into our hearts and lives and situations. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may or may not have come across a program which comes on Radio 4 early on a Sunday morning, entitled Something Understood. The nature of the program is religious, and the philosophy behind the program is that all of the religions of the world are broadly on the same basic tack, different expressions of the same truth, and the purpose of the program is to present this one God in all his diverse forms, and its method is to take one religious theme or idea that crops up in all the religions and to trace it through in its various different expressions. Now, what I want to do this afternoon is to bid for a slot on Something Understood. And rather like a prospective host nation for the World Cup or the Olympics, I want to lay out my stall and to show you that the roof of my stadium will not leak and will be finished on time. And I want to, if you've got any sort of entry with the head of religious broadcasting, I'd like you to sort of take this suggestion for a slot to him at the BBC, or her, I'm not sure who it is. The subject of the program is going to be the subject of this passage that we just had read to us, and I want to suggest that the chief contribution to the program be made by Jesus himself. Because this is a first-hand eyewitness account of the teaching of Jesus, and therefore I want Jesus' words to be the main sort of subject and main content as we explore this subject. And from the reading you can see straight away that the issue that is being explored is the issue of family membership. Not, of course, human or genetic family. I'm not going to be asking people on this program to trace their DNA back to a tribal village in medieval Saxony. No, the subject of our program is spiritual family. And you can see that from verse 37 and 38. I know that you're offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen from my father. You do what you've heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Now, to call yourself a child of Abraham is a big deal. And I hope the quote that I put in the introduction there explains why. Because Abram was the recipient of all God's great promises right back at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis 12. God promises, I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, very clearly, the issue is spiritual family, and whether I'm part of God's family, and whether I can experience all the blessings of God. And that's why the conversation, as it runs through from verse 37 through to verse 47, slips very easily from talking about children of Abram to talking about children of God. And by the end, you can see in verse 47, Jesus is saying, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And therefore the issue is, are we children of God? Or who are the children of God? Now, if there's any subject that listeners of any religious background would listen to, this would be one, which I hope people will be tuning their ears into just after 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Ask a Jewish person, are you going to be interested in a program on the children of Abraham? Of course they will. Ask a Muslim, are you interested in a program on the children of Abraham? Oh yeah, we trace ourselves, or Muslims trace themselves back to Ishmael, don't they? Ask a Christian, are you interested in a program on children of God? Yeah, we call God our Father. And a Hindu is surely going to be interested in a program on the children of God. So now, my suggestion is that we divide the program into two. And in the first part of the program, we look at the family characteristics of God's children. And the aim of the first part is for listeners to realize that the fundamental characteristic of any child of God is that they accept and receive the word that God speaks. And the logic is so simple that even a kind of pre-croissant and orange juice Sunday morning audience ought, without even rousing from its slumber, to be able to follow what's going on. Abram is the father of the Jewish nation. The thing that marked Abram out above everything else is that he accepted and acted on the word of God. So when God comes to him in Genesis 12 and says to him, go from your country to the land that I promised, the very next thing you read is, Abram went. And later, Abram believed God. It was credited him as righteousness because he took God's word seriously and acted on it. So if that's the way Abram behaved, then if you're going to call yourself a true child of Abram, then you will take God's word seriously. Indeed, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. That is the family characteristic, and that's what marks out members of God's family. Now, I don't think we're in the realms of anything that's too hard to understand. All of us are used to seeing family characteristics replicated in members of the family. We've got some friends staying with us from Australia. We'd never met them before, actually, until this Friday, but we had met the daughter who'd stayed with us for 2 or 3 weeks when she hadn't got anywhere to live. And as this couple stood on our doorstep, arriving off the plane on Friday evening, it could have been Simca's sister. Don't say that to Simca, but the mother is so like the daughter. Not just in the looks, but in mannerisms, in the way she speaks, in everything. It just could be. All of us are used to aspects, characteristics, you know, the corporate culture. Did you hear last night somebody on the news saying, oh, well, these soldiers couldn't possibly have been bullying the Iraqis, because that's just not part of the corporate culture of the British Army. Well, whether you think it is or it isn't, you understand the language of corporate culture and characteristics. And Jesus' point is very simple, that the corporate culture of children of Abraham is that they accept God's word. That's what Abraham did. And so on. Well, so far, so good. And I think, to this point, the head of religious broadcasting would be very happy. But you may have noticed that I have so far deliberately dumbed down Jesus' teaching, and there has been a certain amount of editorial spin on my part, largely because I wanted to get a hearing and a foot in the door. So let's look a little more closely at Jesus' teaching, as it's recorded here by his first-hand eyewitness, John the disciple. For Jesus pushes the logic a little further. Look at verse 38. I speak of what I have seen with my Father. Look at verse 40 as Jesus speaks of himself. I am a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Look at verse 42. I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. I'm not self-appointed, in other words. Look at verse 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? Answer, none. So if I tell the truth... Now can you see the logic? As the screw begins to tighten and the heat is raised a little, the clear characteristic of a genuine child of Abraham is that they accept and act on God's word. The true child of Abraham and the true child of God hears God's word and acts on it. Abram left his country and his family on the basis of God's word. But Jesus insists, I am from God. I actually speak of what I have seen with my Father. Isn't that interesting? He's actually been with God and actually seen him face to face. I told you the truth that I heard from God. I'm not self-appointed, and you can't convict me of sin. You know I'm telling the truth. Therefore, well, if you won't accept my words, who's your Father? Verse 47, the reason you do not hear my words is because you are not of God. Verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. Logic is plain as plain, isn't it? Verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did, which is to hear God's word. Now, I think the thing that makes this teaching all the more powerful is a realization of the group of people to whom Jesus is speaking. So just look up the column there to verse 31. Jesus has been now in Jerusalem for, well, over a day. I think the conversation runs from chapter 7, verse 12, right the way through up to the end of chapter 9, and it's basically one day, or perhaps a couple of days' activity, at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. And all the way through this conversation, there's been a huge hubbub. Who is Jesus? And some opposition. If you turn to follow Jesus, some of them had said, well, you know, you've been deceived. But now, verse 31, a fan club is beginning to emerge. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed. And here is a group who, if you like, at the end of the university mission, have said, yeah, well, we are really quite interested in this, Jesus. We've done Christianity Explored. We're going to go on the follow-up. They are religious Jews, genetically related to Abraham, who have turned aside from the crowd and are prepared to take the flak and take an initial step in the direction of Jesus. And Jesus turns to his newfound fan club and he says, just because you come from kosher stock, doesn't make you a child of God. Just because you've made an initial nod in my direction, just because you write Church of England or Roman Catholic on your passport, just because you went forward at a big crusade in the 1950s or professed at a teenage Christian camp, just because you attend the mosque or have fasted religiously at Ramadan or said your prayers five times every day or recited the creed, that doesn't actually necessarily make you a child of God. Verse 37, I know you're genetically related to Abraham, but you won't accept God's word. And the mark of a true child of Abraham is that he or she accepts God's word. Now, do you see what Jesus is saying to this religious crowd of would-be followers? Just as Abraham heard God's word and made a clean break from his family and turned to God, so too, you need to accept God's word, make a clean break from your religious past, and follow me. Jesus, you see, hasn't come just for a little bit of light influence on a few religious people. His intention is not that they just sort of admire his teaching from afar and hold him up as a great one amongst the plethora of other teachers. No, all the way through the conversation he has been saying, without me you are enslaved to sin. Without me you face God's judgment. Without me you have no hope. Even in spite of your religious background, what you need to do is to turn and to hear God's word and be freed. But of course, if you won't hear God's word, then it shows that you're still enslaved. And it shows that you can't be a child of God. Now, at this point, I want to call in another guest to the studio, if I may. And the guest is going to be the local imam, because as a non-Muslim, I'm not really allowed to read from the Quran, and I need an imam in order to be able to read, because the Quran is only really authentic, and I want my listeners, especially the Muslim listeners, who will have tuned in from all over Britain, I hope, to something understood, I want my Muslim listeners to be able to hear what Jesus is saying here, and I'll ask the imam to turn to his Quran and to read from it. To Moses we gave the scriptures, and after him we sent other apostles. We gave Jesus, son of Mary, veritable signs, and strengthened him with the Holy Spirit. We believe in God, and that which has been revealed to us in what was revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, to Moses and Jesus and other prophets of the Lord. We have revealed our will to you as we revealed it to Noah and to the prophets who came after him, as we revealed it to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, to Jesus, Job, Jonah, and so on. And so in this program now, I would want to say to our listeners, look, if you're from a Muslim background, even your own Quran holds Jesus up as one to whom God has spoken, as a prophet, alongside Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and John the Baptist. In fact, there was a Muslim I was speaking to just after the first service who said to me, yes, Jesus is held up as born miraculously, a prophet sent by God. And therefore I'd want to say, you see, to my listeners, well, do you believe Jesus was sent by God? Well, are you a true child of Abraham? Because if you are a true child of Abraham, you'll listen to his word. You will accept that without him, you are born in slavery to sin, that you face God's judgment, and that to be a true child of God, you need to come to Jesus for the forgiveness that he offers, to be freed from slavery to sin, and to receive a place in the family of God. In fact, I think I don't think we quite got time to have my other guest, and I'm rather disappointed because I was going to call in Lord Rees-Mogg, and you may have read, if you take the Times yesterday, he had a long article on the nature of the future of the European Constitution, and he thinks it should be fundamentally Christian with virtues of the Enlightenment. And I would want to say to him, William or Bill, if I may, you say that Europe is basically Christian with its 450 million members and 350 Roman Catholics and Protestants, but do you realize what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that without him, however many Enlightenment values and however much liberal democracy and however much education and however good your Bill of Rights, the 450 million Europeans who call themselves Christian will still be enslaved to sin and are not genuine children of God unless they accept the word of Jesus. Now, to date, I hope that the audience will be so refreshed by the clarity and the lack of muddle in Jesus' presentation that they will have, well, actually probably retuned, because they can't believe they're on Radio 4, but let's not worry about that for a moment, that they will be sitting bolt upright in their beds, that they will have sent their children to watch breakfast television, and that they will be at 6:16 a.m. taking notes as they sit up. And I hope that they will be asking this big question, which runs all the way through the passage. If it is right that the true children of God accept the words of God, and if Jesus is speaking the words of God, and if we're not actually accepting the words of God, then who is our Father? That's the question of the passage, isn't it? Verse 38. I speak of what I've seen with my father. You do what you've heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Verse 40. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. They said to him, we're not bastards. We have one father, even God. And then verse 47, whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And you come out of the passage saying, well, who is my father then? And at this point, I want, if I may, to introduce my final guest. We'll have to bring him in quickly because On Your Farm is approaching fast. And I want to say that my final guest, and I want to tell you what he's wearing, because I think our culture has been so seduced by pictures of red tights and films like The Omen that we won't really believe it is who he is. And so I'm going to tell you what he's wearing. He's wearing smart casuals from Bowdens or Hackett's. He's respectable and persuasive. He's highly intelligent and very articulate. And he is, of course, the devil. And because the Radio 4 audience will have grown up watching far too much of The Omen and Possessed and The Exorcist, and because the Radio 4 audience thinks that really the devil is only at work in people like Ian Huntley and Harold Shipman and Pol Pot and Hannibal Lecter, I want to ask the devil outright, what is the characteristic, the chief characteristic of your family? Except I'm not going to ask the devil that. I shall ask Jesus that, because he's in the studio, and the devil, of course, would lie. So there's no point asking him. So I'd turn straight to the Lord Jesus and say, right, from your words, what are the chief characteristics of Satan? And he says it there in verses 43 to 44. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. Now, this verse is very interesting. I approached this passage with a city businessman, and he was unable to read verse 44 for about 10 minutes. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell the truth, that's why you don't believe me. Well, you see, it's very interesting. Jesus takes us right back to the Garden of Eden. That's why he talks about in the beginning, from the beginning. And of course, from the beginning, what was Satan's tactics? To lie. Did God really say, he said, as he slithered up to Eve? You will not surely die. If you reject God's word, and if you refuse to trust God's word, if you say no to God's word, he won't judge you. But hang on, God said you can eat from any tree, apart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said, you will surely die. So the fundamental primary tactic of Satan, we must get this clear, is not to stalk around the world in red tights with a pointy tail and little horns on his head. And the fundamental characteristic of Satan's family is not that they're people out of The Omen and the Exorcist, or whatever it's called, or possessed. It is that they will not believe the truth. So says Jesus. There are two families. One family is enslaved to sin and has been from before the time, has been from the beginning of creation, from the day the serpent stepped into the garden. One family faces the judgment of God. One family has rejected the truth. And there's another family, that's the family that accept the truth. But the characteristic of Satan's family is that he's a liar and he hates the truth. From the very beginning he lied. And in lying to Adam and Eve, he ensnared the entire human race. So which family are you from? Of course, you see, says Jesus, I've come from heaven. I've come down from the Father. I've seen the truth with the Father. I've heard the truth from the Father. I'm speaking the truth from God. Why, even the Muslim people will accept that. So if you won't accept my teaching, who's your father? And with that, the music for On Your Farm begins, and we're off to the Outer Hebrides to save hedgehogs. But as you head into the bathroom and confront what meets you in the mirror, which will be glorious if you're putting on makeup and pretty horrific if you're shaving, as you confront what meets you in the mirror, I think you'd be asking this question, wouldn't you? Which family am I really from? And as you went down to breakfast, you'd be saying to yourself, which family do we really belong to? And if you came, as you came into work on Tuesday morning, you'd be asking of your colleagues, which family? Let's pray together. Jesus said, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our Father, how we praise you that you so loved the world that in spite of our willful rebellion, in spite of our slavery to sin and Satan, you sent your only Son. We praise you for his death on the cross, bringing forgiveness, sweeping through this world. We pray, our Father God, that you would make us men and women of the truth, accepting the word of Christ, and then holding out his word, the offer of freedom, light in a dark world. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.